This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way. At the exact same time, like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
Hour number two of the G-Bag Nation, Rangers and Halos, number three of this four-game set. It'll be Patrick Corbin on the bump for this one as they go ahead and actually conclude this series.
The old 4-for-4 special.
The 4-for-4. Hopefully come out of this thing with a split, and then you'll look ahead to the Houston Astros, the division-leading Houston Astros that just won't go away. I don't know what the heck's going on in the water there in Houston. Just when you think they're dead, they crawl right back up. I can't stand it. All right, we're going to do a C-Note Krusty's Corner coming up at the bottom of the hour. But right now, let's welcome in Jared Sandler joining us here for our Rangers preview brought to you by Blue Nail Roofing. Jared, how are you? How's it going there in Anaheim?
Straight, guys. Zach, you scared me for a second since we're in the middle of this long road trip. I thought today was the final game. I've been packing my suitcase. I wasn't like, oh, he's wrong. I was like, oh, I don't know. Maybe I've got this wrong. I don't know what day.
No, as soon as it was coming out of my mouth, I was like, wait a second, it's Thursday, and then tomorrow I know it's Houston. So this is definitely the last game of the series. That was an error on my part. But, I mean, what were your takeaways from last night? Because the team kept rallying, man. I thought after Marcus Semien hit that homer, okay, they're going to be fine. But Kamar, his start, just the state of the bullpen right now. Bruce Bochy was talking about how limited he is with arms. I mean, what were your takeaways from the game last night?
Yeah, I mean, it was a unique one relative to the season. We've oftentimes talked about how the bats just didn't hold up their end of the bargain. There haven't been nearly as many post-game narratives in which the pitching didn't do its part and the defense didn't do its part either. On one hand, I think at one point, we were saying after the game, hey, like, I think like in May there was a game the Rangers won, like, I don't know, 2-1 or 3-2 or something. And I think we kind of joked, like, we'd rather lose a game like 10-8 or something and just see the offense come to life. But obviously now we're at a point of the season where it's like the team just needs wins. Kamar Rocker's thrown more innings or is on pace to throw more innings than he ever has in a single year. And I think, we talked about this in the spring. I think there might be some decisions that they'll need to make sure that, they're keeping him fresh and not going too far with things coming off of Tommy John. But I think the All-Star break's probably coming at a good time for him. He's not going to make a start now for, at least a week. And maybe he needs to recharge the batteries a little bit. He just didn't seem to be as sharp with his command with that slider, especially that home run that Mike Trout hit. I mean, it was a slider right over the middle of the plate at the knees, which is, that's Mike Trout's wheelhouse, right? So you're not going to get away with too many pitches like that there. And the bullpen's been really good this year. Now, I think people would be surprised to know how good the bullpen's been statistically because this unit maybe doesn't have that one intimidating presence to just shut the door, right? They don't have the Kenley Jansen, who's got over 400 career saves, or the Andres Munoz, who, hadn't blown a save, in forever or whatever. But they've got a group of guys who have done a nice job getting the job done You know, Chris Martin inherited a tough spot and gave up a weak hit, but, you know, Luke Jackson has really scuffled here recently, and that's the one that I think people will, you know, that inning people will turn their attention to. And, you know, it just didn't seem like he really had it. And, you know, he threw a 2-0 slider to to Jorge Soler that was right down the middle. He got away with and then came back and basically threw that same pitch on 3-1. And, I mean, Jorge Soler led the American League in home runs a few years ago. I mean, he's got big-time power, and so you're not going to be able to get away with that pitch twice and one at bat. And, it wasn't that he was trying to throw that pitch there. He just I don't think Luke was really able to command his stuff. So, the pitching didn't hold up its end yesterday, and you know, it's frustrating. I guess the silver lining, if you want to reach for one, is, you know, that the offense is, over the last month and a few days now, has been a really good unit. And, you know, again, 8 runs, 10 hits, that should be enough to win you games. More often than not, it's going to be enough. But, you know, we are at a point in the season, 69 games left in the season. The official, everyone always looks forward to this mark where there's 69 games left. Nice. And the Rangers need to obviously start, you know, piling on wins, however they can get them.
Yeah, you mentioned the offense and the sample size. It seems like they've turned a corner. I mean, plate discipline, approach, like, what do you attribute it to? Because it seems like now we're starting to get a little bit more consistent at the plate.
Yeah, I think I attribute, if it's a pizza, you cut up probably, you know, 5-6 slices, right? One slice is just these guys were way better than how they were performing, and I think they naturally were going to improve. Some of it was bad luck. Some of it was just guys slumping. I think, you know, Brett Boone deserves some credit for some of the things he's tried to implement, but I also think that Justin Vealey deserves credit as well. He was new this year, so he wasn't a part of, you know, whatever challenges the team had offensively last year. And sometimes it's not going to, you know, I had a conversation with Brett Boone the other day, and he's like, hey, doesn't take a day. Doesn't even take a month. Sometimes it takes multiple months. Right. And you know, Justin Vealey deserves that same runway. So I think he deserves some credit. But yeah, I mean, I think, to kind of answer your question with one of the answers you provided, Eric, I think the plate discipline is huge. I mean, at the end of the day, all right, let's simplify this. If we're playing T-ball, all right, and you put the T down at my ankles, I'm probably not going to have as good of a chance to drive the ball as if you put the T right in my wheelhouse, right? So now let's extrapolate that to Major League Baseball, and it's not this easy. But when you're swinging at pitches down at the ankles, you're swinging at pitches up, you know, the bill of your helmet, you're probably not going to have as much of a chance to have success. And this team has done a much better job of reining things in. You know, I go back to the fourth inning against Jose Soriano on whatever day that was, Tuesday, when the Rangers, you know, they had been no hit through 3 innings. And then in the fourth inning, they put up multiple runs. And it started by forcing Jose Soriano to throw strikes. And he wasn't. And they drew 3 walks. He walked the bases loaded. And then if you look at the 3 hits the Rangers got, Jose Soriano, all of a sudden, you know, he's throwing pitches that are splitting the middle of the plate. And the 3 hits the Rangers had were all pitches that were horizontally over the middle third of the plate. And when you don't swing at balls, a few things happen. One, you're going to be swinging at better pitches to hit. But two, you're going to wear down the pitcher. You're going to make them work. Maybe you get in their head and they just say, screw it. You know, I'm not worried about hitting the corners. I just got to throw strikes, right? And now all of a sudden you start getting better pitches to hit, or maybe you physically wear them down a little bit. And, you know, it's got a domino effect. I just think plate discipline is huge. Now you got to have ability, right? It's not just about going up there and taking pitches for the sake of taking pitches. But I just think that, you know, ultimately, the toughest lineups are the ones that don't give you anything. They're the ones that, you know, really make you work hard. And I think the Rangers lineup has done a much better job of that over the last month.
Hey, Jared, as the trade deadline does approach and we focus so much on hitting, does bullpen help now kind of overshadow that? Is it like, okay, maybe this team is going to come around and hit? And if we had a legitimate, and you mentioned it, we don't have somebody that can just go out there and shut this thing down. Does the need change as we get to the trade deadline?
So they definitely need bullpen help, Brian. You're totally right with that. I don't know that it's like one or the other. I think if they're going to buy, you know, it's probably both. And you know, I think just the fact that the position player group, I mean, that's a group that plays every day. If they can get someone that can help change or flip the dynamic of this lineup, I think that would be huge. But yeah, I think that they absolutely need bullpen help. And, most teams that are contending will try and add to their bullpen. Can the Rangers get one of those big dog relievers? I don't know. But can they improve the floor of their bullpen? Yeah, I think so. And I think they'll try to do that. I mean, I think you got to look at the group now. And you've gotten a really good season so far out of Sean Armstrong and Jacob Webb and Chris Martin. And, Jacob Latz has really come on here this season. And I think they'll try to figure out as John Gray continues to progress what Jake Latz's role is going to be. I mean, heck, we just talked about Kamar Rocker. What if there's a little flip-flop? What if a way to preserve innings for Kamar Rocker, you put Jacob Latz in the rotation and move Kamar Rocker to the bullpen? Not because you see him as a reliever, but because that's a way to, strategically kind of, keep his arm fresh and healthy. I don't know. But then, I think you got to look at a guy like Luke Jackson, and I think, he's got a couple weeks to show, I am a part of this mix, right? I am the guy that you had as this, team's closer to start the year. But I do think for sure the Rangers are going to be on the market for a reliever. And I didn't mention Hobie Milner. I mean, he's been outstanding too, right? So, I think you want to protect against injury for one. But I think if you can raise the floor of this bullpen and obviously in turn maybe raise the ceiling too, I think that's absolutely what they like to do. And here's the thing too, Broadus, what makes it a little bit easier. Relievers aren't going to cost nearly as much in assets unless you're going and getting one of those big dog closers. And they also are probably going to be cheaper. They probably aren't going to have a big contract attached to them. So as we discuss making moves and adding while still staying below the luxury tax threshold, you're able to do that a lot more easily by adding relievers than, say, an everyday middle of the order bat who probably, unless he's a pre-arbitration player, is probably going to cost enough money to where you've got to make some sort of counter financial move.
John Gray had a couple of good innings in his rehab assignment. Does he just immediately slide back into the starting rotation in your mind?
Yeah, I mean, I guess so. I think there was a point, before Tyler Mahle got injured, where maybe they would, and before we knew that Cody Bradford was out, where maybe they would consider John Gray as a reliever. And you know what, Zach, maybe they still do. Maybe the point, hey, we're going to stretch him out. We're going to get him ready to start. I don't think they feel as confident having John Gray rehab on the fly at the major league level like they've done with Nathan Eovaldi a few times. So let's stretch him out and then let's assess. But yeah, I mean, I think that I think right now that's probably the plan. And again, maybe it's because in their mind he is going to help provide the team the innings that they don't feel comfortable pushing Kamar Rocker to give them. Or, even Jack Leiter. I think Jack Leiter's probably got a higher ceiling or limit in terms of innings than Kamar. But, same thing. He's going to be throwing more innings than he ever has thrown in his career. And then I think they also, want to make sure that they've got protection for Jacob DeGrom and Nathan Eovaldi. More so DeGrom coming off his second Tommy John. I don't think they plan on shutting him down or anything like that. I think they're trying to pick their spots by taking him out an inning early here or there. But let's say, they need to skip a start at some point. I think the more options they have, the better. But, yeah, I mean, I don't know who is going to be out of the rotation, and those things tend to sort themselves out. But, yeah, I do think that's the plan right now. And it's obviously easier to build him up as a starter and then put him in the bullpen than other way around.
So are we going to be just one and done with the ding-dong call? I mean, no harm, no foul?
No, I did it last night. I did it after the fact. After Marcus's home run, I think I dropped it like ding-dong the – that ball is dead or something.
I love that. Okay.
Yeah. I'll ding. Hey, that wasn't the first time I'd used ding dong this year either, by the way. So, it's not a one and done.
It's here. Okay. Beautiful. I missed that.
When did you do? Was Marcus's home run? I'm trying to remember because I was working on podcast early in the game.
The old two runner.
Yeah, I think it was seventh inning.
Oh, geez. I missed that.
Yeah. Top of the seventh. Yeah.
I'm going to have to get our highlight cutters here at the station are going to have to do a better job at keeping the ding-dong within the call.
Yeah, well, I mean, and I'll take the blame, right? I mean, I did it after the fact, right? So it was
I voted that you weren't going to do it again.
Yeah, Broadus was down.
I said he is not going to do this again. No, it's not happening.
No, I mean, I think I've probably done it five or six times this year. So
love it.
I'm not afraid of it.
All right, buddy. Hopefully we can head to Houston tomorrow on a positive note. We'll catch up with you again tomorrow, man.
Sounds good, fellas. See you later.
Thank you so much.
Love
Jared
you.
Sandler, his Rangers preview every day here in the G-Bag Nation. But tomorrow, fellas, we are going to be out once again at Pickler Universe.
You're dang right, Wolchuk. That's one of the hottest new spots in DFW. It's Pickler Universe in Carrollton, 2800 North I-35E, just past the George Bush Toll Road. We will be there from 2 to 6:30, so come on out. Learn more about pickleball if that's what you want to do. It's an amazing new club, and we'll be there from 2 to 6:30 leading into Rangers and Astros. Pickler Universe, 2 to 6:30 with the G-Bag Nation, pizza, cold beer. Come hang out. We cannot wait to see you there.
Let's do it. All right, C-Note coming up next. Cowboys questions heading into training camp. That's next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
To the nation.
Today's C-Note here in the G-Bag Nation brought to you by the Frankels. Life is unpredictable. Accidents happen. If you or a loved one has been hurt in a car or truck wreck, call the Frankels first, 214-333-3333. We got Krusty's Corner coming up at 340, but right now it's time for the C-Note. Here's the bully.
All right, we got Cowboys questions heading into camp. Awesome article from our buddy Joseph Hoyt, Cowboys beat reporter, now back with the Dallas Morning News. But this morning, there was a conversation had on Get Up on ESPN, and they kicked around this question. Is Dak set up now for a monster year with your Dallas Cowboys?
Dak and that talent on the edge, with him having the freedom of some health and a new head coach, I think it becomes more Dak's team, and he puts up big numbers, and the receivers, both of them, are happy.
You mentioned Dak does win big when he's coming off injury. After missing the final 11 games in 2020, he went 11-5 the following year. And then after missing the final five games in 2022, he won 12 games and threw 36 touchdowns the next year. So if the pattern holds, Kevin, Dak should have a monster year, don't you think?
Yeah, if he's healthy. But that's if true of healthy. A lot of guys.
If he's healthy, are they good enough on offense for him to have to add to this kind of chart?
Yeah, this kind of chart. I just don't see a ceiling as a team that's significantly higher than it has been the last couple of years. They're the third best team in this division. I don't see any way they close the gap, not only with the Eagles, but with the Commanders. That's just a more talented roster in Washington right now. So I think Dak's going to have a vintage Dak year, and it might not matter. That's the unfortunate thing for the Cowboys right now.
Wow. So Kevin Clark with, hey, yeah, Dak could have a bounce back here. And hey, those numbers from that they mentioned in the beginning of the clip, that's all true. Dak's bounce back after an injured season has been absolutely brilliant. I think we're all looking at the offense has the potential to be pretty damn good when you add George Pickens with Tyler Booker, with Guyton being into year two, a new offensive line coach. Can that hopefully reinvigorate and get Terrence Steele back on the right track year two with Cooper Beebe at center? Like there's reasons for optimism offensively, but will it matter? Like if Dak goes out, has an excellent season, hey, 2 years ago, runner-up for MVP, but again, you were one and done in the postseason. And I guess it did make me think of the conversations we've been having about how woeful the defense could also be. I mean, there's definitely, you can make cases for both sides of the ball where reasons for optimism and also like ultimate disaster. But I think when we look at it, the ceiling for the offense probably much higher if they're able to hit their peak. Defensively, because of the injuries, that has the possibility to be really, really bad.
Yeah. As you almost, no spillage.
No spillage.
Knock over the drink, no spillage. That was impressive. Yeah, I think that the defense, of course, is what scares me most. And in those years that Dak and the offense were crushing, they were usually doing it against the poor defenses. They were inflating their numbers versus the poor defenses. It looks like you have a pretty tough schedule.
Mm-hmm.
And we won't know till we know, week to week. Maybe a team that we think is going to have a good defense doesn't. But I think that's something that has to be considered here. And the fact that I think this is going to be a defense that's really going to struggle, at least early on, new defensive coordinator and way too many injuries and a run defense that's still a question, the back end, like I think that's the biggest issue that I have with the team going into the season. I can squint and see that, okay, this offense could click and that could be awesome, but one, can they consistently do it versus good defenses? And two, your defense is I think going to be a huge problem.
I don't know about, I'm trying to look and see the Washington and Dallas roster comparison here. Because Kevin Clark, you're the third best team in your division. I mean, I do think there's going to be regression here for both Philly and Washington. I think naturally that's going to happen. I don't know that Philly, it's really health. I don't see them replicating the health. I just think that's the law of averages in the NFL. But for Washington, defensively, I still think there's some questions. Like their defensive front, pretty solid. I mean,
we talked about yesterday that their secondary might not be good enough.
Right. And I think
their secondary was in the bottom half of the league.
And I think they've got similar, like I think the Cowboys front seven better than what you've got with Washington. Washington might have the best overall linebacker with Bobby Wagner.
They have
Cowboys have the better, I'd say, defensive line.
They have the better quarterback right now.
And they have the better quarterback right now.
But better quarterback because you don't know how your quarterback's going to come off the injuries. Right.
Now, it's possible the Cowboys could end up with the better offensive line. Last year, that wasn't the case. I think the Cowboys' potential on the offensive line greater than Washington. I don't know that it's just like clear cut and dry. Oh, Cowboys are the third in the division. I mean, I have been on record, bold prediction, Philadelphia takes a big step back. Mm-hmm. I don't see Barkley being able to sustain health again this year after the workload last year, and I call them to miss the playoffs. All of these are reasons why I think the Cowboys are going to end up surprising a lot of people and finding a way to win this division.
Yeah, to me, I'm so convinced that Jaden Daniels is that dude, and so I think he's able to just make up for it. Because I agree, you don't look at the Commanders roster and just like, oh wow, this is daunting.
Yeah.
But when you factor in the Jaden Daniels thing, he was an MVP caliber dude last year.
Absolutely.
Like that's just the reality of it. He was a cheat code. Fourth downs, like they go for it. They're playing a little bit of a different game. Like some of these top teams that know I got four downs to play with every time. And in the red zone, Jaden Daniels was dynamite.
The pushback I would have is we had this exact same conversation with CJ Stroud a year ago. And I do think Cliff Kingsbury, while he was awesome last year, they did also have a little bit of a lull. I do think that was mainly because of the health of Jaden Daniels. I think that was probably proven to be more so the case.
Yeah,
he, got the wasn't running as much. Yeah, yeah. But like, can Cliff find a way now that the league's had a year of what they were doing, what they liked to do, what their strengths were, to be able to still kind of reinvent and have something up his sleeve to where, hey, their counter, what is your counter to that? So I'm so with you. I think I'm so ticked off that Jaden Daniels is in Washington because I love the guy too. I think he is top five quarterback, but we did just see, we were ready to put CJ Stroud on that pedestal and there was a massive regression. It might just be, hey, in the NFL, it is tough. And I don't even know if it would necessarily be a Jaden Daniels' fault. It could be play caller related. It could be other issues with his own football team, with the roster, but I do think that like we can't just assume anything. And it, same thing with Dak. The version of Dak we saw in the first eight games last year was not good. And while the track record shows he plays great after injury, and I'm confident you'll get a good version of Dak this year as well, that's up for debate too. You know, I don't know that that's a foregone conclusion. So it's still some question marks here with all these teams as we get into 2025. The NFC is going to be fascinating to me because I think it's going to be a little bit tighter than the forecast is showing from all the other talking heads.
Yeah, I think you're right about that. I do.
What will be with the Commanders, though, we'll see what kind of bounce back that Deebo Samuel has.
Sure.
That's the thing that kind of... and
like another added dimension to the offense.
Yeah, and you talk about Cliff. Will Cliff figure out ways to use him? I think there's a lot of questions, too, about Terry McLaurin in that contract.
Yeah, right?
He's not happy.
Is that going to be big? And then Brian Robinson's contract is a question mark, too, there. You know, what they're going to do there. Zach Ertz seemed to find kind of the fountain of youth as, you know, when he was playing. Mm-hmm. You kind of felt like, well, he's done, but, you know, the Commanders kind of figured out some things with him. So, you know, Samuel, McLaurin, Eckler. I mean, I know Eckler missed a lot of the season because of the concussion thing he suffered, but that quarterback is, that guy's a difference maker. He really, really is. And they're very similar to Dallas. I mean, if you look at their offensive line, you know, Biotis played well for them. Sam Cosmi played well at guard. And then they trade for Laremy Tunsil. You know, Dallas has got what? Dallas has got kind of three offensive linemen, right? Don't you kind of feel? Well, so do the Commanders, if you look at it that way.
Other questions from Joseph Hoyt, courtesy of the Morning News. Will George Pickens continue to impress? I think we're all pretty damn confident Pickens is going to be good. Mm-hmm. I think what will be fascinating is just, you know, the issues that he had during games, the maturity stuff. Is he, if things go wrong, is he going to be able to maintain his composure? And is he fighting fans in the stands? Is he getting into it with other teammates out of frustration? The guy wants to win, and it sounds like him and CD have a tremendous relationship. I love the fact that him and Dak have been working together, and it's a contract year. These guys typically are going to go out and have their best foot forward and ball out to try and get the paycheck. But I think a lot of tests, and you brought this up yesterday, Brian, especially with Brian Schottenheimer, when the adversity hits. There is no adversity right now. It's kumbaya time.
Yeah.
But once adversity hits, how does the team respond? And how does George Pickens respond?
This you will not know about Brian Schottenheimer as a coach until it turns into we're playing live games. Then you're going to get it. And then all of a sudden, though, what if it turns into a winning streak, you know, where it's four or five games and now the buy-in is real? Everybody's buy-in is like, okay, we're pulling for each other. We're pulling for the team. The minute that things start to go badly, that's where you'll know about Brian Schottenheimer as a coach. Because as you mentioned, Willie, right now, everybody's all feel goods. But it's when things start to go bad, then you start to see the little pockets of players like, eh, this guy's in over his head.
Mm-hmm.
The scheme here, they've got too many college coaches. You know, they're over their heads. You know, you'll start to hear on this white cotton, you know, defensive line. He was supposed to be so damn good with the Jets. He can't coach anybody. You know, he can't coach Lions to eat red meat. You know, I mean, you're going to hear all kinds of things to you know, when things start to go bad. And then it's going to be about Schottenheimer's ability. And it might not go bad, but if it does, that's where you're going to find out what kind of coach he is.
100%. Because, like, right now, we're loving the staff that he put together.
Yeah, you're just...
All of a sudden, things go wrong. It's like, this is why you don't hire a bunch of college coaches. You know, well, it's
he should have hired a bunch of his friends that could coach.
Yeah,
you know,
this was a big mistake. And the 972, you guys are drinking the Kool-Aid again with the Cowboys. They're mediocre at best. I could see it. I could see the Cowboys not being good this year. I just, going based on the track record with this division, and I said the same thing last year, that's why I picked Washington. You don't have back-to-back champs. For whatever reason, maybe Philly can break this. We're 20-plus years now, and typically when people are down on the Cowboys, they bounce back with a year that is an overachieving type of season. And just because I think the regular season they could be good and win the division does not mean I'm projecting any type of success in the postseason.
No, because you're smarter
than that. I will not be fooled in that regard again. That won't happen. ESPN had the Cowboys offseason grade today as a C. Biggest move, Pickens. Move that they liked, drafting Donovan Azaraku in the second round. Move they disliked, letting Rico Dowdle walk in exchange for Javonte Williams and Miles Sanders.
We keep talking about Rico, and I haven't got this confirmed from anybody. I think Rico was going home. I think Rico was going back to Carolina. I think he'd had enough of being here, and maybe that whole charade that we played in that one game where we had, you know, Rico getting sick.
Oh, that Washington game, wasn't it?
Well, it was San Francisco, wasn't it?
Yeah, San Francisco.
The playoff
game.
That's right.
No, it was this year.
Remember, pregame.
Remember they had the fake fever and all that stuff
And he's out signing autographs for fans, but yet he was sick and couldn't play.
That was weird.
To me, I think there was some real questions that was he honestly going back to Carolina?
Well, and I thought Rico was awesome last year. I would have liked to have brought him back, but it's the first time he's ever stayed healthy in his career. And he's going into a committee in Carolina. They're not having him as the featured back. I think the Cowboys had their price and their number, and Rico thought he was going to end up getting more. You look at the deal that he got, like, yeah, I would have liked to have brought him back too. But we'll see. Like, Phil Maffa, Jaden Blue, maybe these rookies step up for you. That's my hope.
If you're going to play gap scheme, you know, I know one thing that, like, so Vachel and Barney were talking about this last night. If you figure out that Jaden Blue can pass protect, he needs to be your starter.
Oh, for sure.
There's not really a need for Javonte Williams.
Yeah, if you, and that's going to be the big question, is can he pass protect and can he hold on to the ball? But if you get to Oxnard and all of a sudden you see drills where he is stepping up and pass protecting and picking up the right guys, he needs to be your starter.
I love it. All right, there it is, your C-note here in the G-Bag Nation on a Thursday. We have Bobby Corella live from Vegas talking all things Mavs and Cooper Flagg. That's at the top of the hour, but coming up next, Krusty's Corner.
Yeah, I've got some questions from our guys from a media standpoint about this training camp. We'll do
this episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
Escape the heat to True North Convenience Stores and get any size True Oasis Fountain Drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi Fountain Drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. and it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
That next.
Thank you, Lucius. We got Bobby Corella live from Vegas ahead of Cooper Flagg's Summer League debut tonight. He's going to be joining us at the top of the hour next segment. And tomorrow, please come out, join us at Pickler Universe right in Carrollton at 2800 North I-35 East, just past the George Bush Toll Road. We're going to be out there from 2 to 6:30. You can learn about pickleball and the amazing new club, or just come on out and say what's up to us, because we'd love to absolutely see you out there ahead of Rangers and Astros tomorrow night. But it is indeed time for Krusty's Corner, brought to you by Reliant Air Conditioning. Gimmick-free AC repair and replacements. Here he is, King of the Krusty's, Rodas.
Thank you very much. We appreciate that. Watching this 1993 Dallas-San Francisco playoff game.
It's incredible.
Like, Charles Haley is giving Steve Wallace at left tackle all he can handle. I mean, he is, and they're trying to like run the ball at Charles Haley and having really no success doing it too, which, you know, is kind of a, you figure a guy like that, that pass rusher up the field guy. This was always cool too. That's because Candlestick Park's turf looks terrible.
Like muddy, disgusting.
Muddy, the logos are all over the place. It's just
different colored grass.
Yeah, dude. Yeah. It's like patches of different grass.
I think Mike Kofor just hooked one. No good.
Kofor swung it left.
Yeah, I hope we win this one, boys.
George Seifert is like,
what the hell's going on?
This is an NFC championship game. So let's see if the Cowboys pull this one.
M's for the days. Wouldn't know what one looks like.
Me neither.
It's so funny because I was thinking about winning the Super Bowl, you know, in 96. And that's kind of like the last time, the year before Dallas got that Super Bowl.
Yeah.
It just seems like so long ago. I look at, like, I was going through some pictures and it was, man. It's just totally different.
It's crazy.
Look and all that. So that's a shame.
You'd think law of averages, like eventually. You'll get in there.
Eventually. I have some questions for you guys. And I want you to kind of think about these from the media perspective of things. Like, okay, you're watching practice every day. You know, so you're sitting out there and I'm going to ask you these questions and you're like, okay, I'm going to take this. I'm going to answer it like I'm standing there watching practice. And then practice is over and then you're going to go either the rudder room, go to dinner, you know, or maybe jump on a podcast or whatever you're going to do.
All of the above, dude.
All of the above.
I'm going to be podcasting while eating dinner at the rudder room.
That would be a first, because you'd have to bring your dinner to the rudder room.
And you'd have to bring your own Wi-Fi. And situation.
You do have to bring your own Wi-Fi and bring a hoodie too, by the way, because it gets really cold there at night. Eric, I'll start with you.
Awesome.
Okay, training
it's
camp.
Good choice.
Training camp media thoughts here. What's the player, or who's the player, that we're going to knee jerk the most about at training camp?
It's a good question. I mean, I think there's going to be a lot of eyes on Tyler Guyton. Is he getting worked? We're going to be like, oh, crap.
Yeah.
We were wanting to see a step in the right direction. That's the first one that comes to mind. I mean, the quarterback stuff is obviously big time as well between Dak and Joe Milton. Mm-hmm. Joe Milton makes a couple of highlight reel throws.
Now, be careful, because if you mention Joe Milton, Cowboy fan who doesn't like Dak will be okay with you mentioning Joe Milton. Cowboy fan that is a Dak fan will say, Eric, you're crazy. Why would you bring up Joe Milton? There's no way he's going to start. Why are you even doing this?
Yeah, so, it's true.
But you're just saying from a reactionary standpoint, when you're watching practice, that all of a sudden Joe Milton just launches one.
Yeah, he gives you one of these rolling left and rips it 60 yards through the air and hits CeeDee Lamb or something right there in the chest. You're going to go, wow, oh my gosh. So that's what he's capable of.
Right.
You know, you're
not saying that Joe Milton's going to be the starter.
Not at all. But I guess I would say, I mean, between Guyton, I'm kind of thinking about Jaden Blue a little bit because I really want him to be awesome, and he's a guy that can go electric on you and boom, make a highlight reel type play. But I'll just go with something that is hugely important to this season, and that's Tyler Guyton. I would like to get out there and be like, hey, he's looking,
so you're
looking good.
You're going to be like looking at every rep that he has and say he wins one against Sam Williams. I mean, it for like how many reps is Tyler Guyton going to have to win against Sam Williams and Fowler and if Mike is out there, how many reps out of 10 do you need Guyton to win on a daily basis?
I mean, dude, it's got to be
because
like,
because if you say he's winning against, you know, if he's winning against,
yeah, Peyton Turner or something. Yeah,
the awesome rep he had against Micah last year that went viral.
Yeah.
Yeah, he had some good stuff against Micah.
But that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, I would say like eight out of 10 need to be like Guyton was doing his thing there. You know, the other guy too that I'm going to be watching a ton of, because I think it could do go a long way into reshaping my thinking about the defense, is Jay Toya, a guy who can step in
so
immediately.
If he has a good rep or two, you're going to knee jerk about that thing. Like, yeah. Oh, look at Toya.
If he like stonewalls there
we're
inside.
We're going to champion the hell out of Jay Toya.
With Booker and Smith and BB in the middle, if he's stonewalling these guys, especially in those like inside run type drills, that's going to fire me up. But I'll stick with Guyton and hope that he doesn't get undressed out there.
How about you there, Wooly?
I feel like it's usually a wide receiver that this happens with.
Mm-hmm.
Like last year, I remember getting out there and being like, you know, this receiving corps don't look that bad. I know we were really nervous about this. They might be better than we think. Jalen Brooks is looking pretty good out here. This Ryan Flournoy might be doing something. I'm going to go with Jonathan Mingo. Mingo's either going to be looking really good, and I'm going to think, you know what, maybe with Dak, maybe this is finally the time Mingo proves he is an NFL player, or it's going to look so disastrous, I'm absolutely going to rip them to shreds. Another big miss on a fourth-round pick.
And what a difference Mingo could make for the offense if he proves to be competent, or dare I say average, dare I say above average, at being a pass catcher. Because right now, if I'm a defensive coordinator and I see Mingo on the field, I'm thinking this is a run play. And I'm certainly not worried about him catching the ball. But all of a sudden, he starts making some plays through the air. Now when you start doing the personnel stuff, you're going, wait, is this a run? Because we know how good of a blocker he is. And I think that's going to be big value in this offense. But if he can actually be a guy to where when he's on the field, that doesn't tell you if it's a run immediately, that would go a long way.
Zach, I'll stick with you on this one. Player the media will be talking about every day. Every day you're going to hear talk about this guy.
Okay, let's go with Kyrie Elam, the corner, who might end up, probably will start for you week one against Philly, depending on the health of this team right now. I think that you can pencil him in as your starting corner opposite Deron Bland. That's my expectation, because I don't think Diggs is going to be ready. And I don't think they're going to throw Revell to the Wolves, even if he is ready to go week one.
He should practice during training camp at some point.
Yeah.
But you're saying every single day we're going to be talking about Elam.
Because, I mean, it seemed like every practice for OTAs and minicamp, Kyer Elam every day was mentioned. Oh, PBU here. So let's see. Can that carry over to training camp? Let's go with Kyer Elam.
Yeah, I love that selection. And that would probably be mine as well. But I'll go with George Pickens, because I think we're all going to want to know, hey, how is he being used? Are they getting him the ball a ton? And what's the connection like with him and Dak? He's probably going to make some highlight reel type catches, hopefully every day that we're out there. So I think that's going to be a guy that we'll be talking about daily.
We're going to talk about CeeDee Lamb every day.
Okay.
And I'll tell you why. I think CeeDee Lamb is hearing all this Pickens talk.
Oh, he wants to remind folks.
I think he wants to remind folks.
And he didn't get the Oxnard opportunity last year.
Yeah, it'll be nice to see him back out there.
And I'm saying this in a respectful way. I'm not saying that there's going to be problems between the two.
No, just the competitor.
But what you just said, everybody, that's all we've really heard about from the. It's been a very quiet CeeDee Lamb talk this year. Like, what do you think about CeeDee? Well, what about George Pickens? They had George Pickens. He's going to help. I think CeeDee Lamb is going to help George Pickens. But I think in camp, I think we're, as a media, we're going to talk about, wow, did you see what Pickens did today? Well, did you see what Lamb did? I think it's going to be every single day. CeeDee Lamb is going to go out there and remind us why he's receiver one.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's the guy we're probably going to be talking about every single day.
I hope so, because then we'll talk about Kyrie Elam, and he either was good against him or stunk against him.
He's going to have his hands full. I will say, you're Kyrie Elam. You're trying to make an impression. All of a sudden, here's just a healthy helping of George and Lamb.
Yeah.
I think the thing that always is troubling to me is, and we mentioned it earlier, is when like you have a situation where the offense is kind of kicking the defense's ass.
Yeah.
And you get excited about the offense, and then all of a sudden you realize that's the defense that you're probably going to be having to play with.
That's the biggest tug of war throughout camp. It's like, man, the run, we're running the ball pretty well. And you're like, well, crap, what does that mean about
the run? There's times that Micah would just wreck practices.
Yeah. All right. How about this one for you there, Wolchuk?
Yeah.
What position do you have your eye on the most?
I always have my line on the line, offensive line.
Is it because you feel more confident evaluating offensive linemen, or you just don't want to deal with the skill guys?
No, I think the fun stuff is the 1v1s. So I think everybody else is going to kind of have that stuff covered, because everybody likes the sex appeal of, oh my gosh, what's going on with the wide receivers and the tight ends and the corners? I want to look at the meat and potatoes. This is what's going to win me games. So how's everything? How's Cooper looking? How's Booker looking? How's Tyler playing? And then Steele, is he looking better on the right side? I mean, you can also kind of carry that over to the defensive front too, but I'm always checking out that line of scrimmage battle and how that's looking, because I think how good that offensive line is how good this football team will be.
Chieftain?
Yeah, I mean, it'll be the same thing for me, but I'll be in particular looking at the front seven defensively. And how are they approaching the run defense? Is Mazi Smith getting bullied? Is Jay Toya looking respectful? Or is that just a glaring hole that we're all concerned about going into camp, this run defense? And so it goes hand in hand, O-line, D-line. The secondary is obviously going to be something that we're super, super focused on.
You guys can all focus on that offense and defensive line. I'm going to be walking down to the other end and watching those defensive backs work.
Yeah, because right now you only have one, for sure.
You've got to figure that thing out.
I mean,
you've got to figure that thing out. That
seatbelt in year two?
Yeah, that is the one area I think that I'm going to spend. I'm going to let all you guys handle that offense and defensive line stuff, but I'm gonna go down there and try and figure out what's going on in that secondary.
For sure. Well, divide and conquer. That's what we're doing here, baby, on the G-Bag Nation.
My body is ready.
I'm so ready. Honestly, now I'm kind of bummed we're not going out there for longer. Because we're missing practices, and I'm going to have the FOMO. We're going to be sitting out here and be like, Brian, what the hell's going on? Yeah.
I heard you negotiating with Hagee about trying to steal his spot. He jumps in the G-bag while
I thought we were like having a private conversation about
that. I liked what you were doing. I thought that was interesting.
I knew Hagee liked to stay back that 1 year, so like, would he care?
Well, right. Just a little, like, Hagee, think about your wife.
A little swappy swap.
Think about your kid.
And then he tried to put that on me. Well, isn't your wife pregnant? I said, well,
that's besides the point, Hagee.
Why you got to project on me like that,
Hagee? Watchdogging my wife's pregnancy like that?
Hey, stop. All right, another great edition of Krusty's Corner.
Thank you, man.
In the books. Thank you very much for that. Every day at 3:40, can't miss, especially as we get closer and closer to football season. You're going to want all your Cowboys content here from our buddy Brian Broad, his best in the business. Bobby Corella, live from Vegas, DLLS Mavs. He's going to get us all hyped for this Cooper Flag debut in the Summer League. That's next in the Nation.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents.
As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.